Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again with you tuning in on your community station in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM. We welcome you all to our program. Or those joining us through our online affiliates literally around the world, we're glad that you all could be with us as well. You know, we've talked about on this program before that some topics are very difficult to explain, especially when it comes to a larger audience. I'm really excited to welcome our next guest to our program because they have a great new book out to help us talk about a topic with children that is really in the news a lot today, and that is terrorism. I'm excited to welcome for the first time to our program board-certified psychologist Dr. Lori Zellinger, as well as the illustrator of her new book, Anne Israeli is with us too. The book is called Please Explain Terrorism to Me. We're going to talk to Dr. Zellinger not only about some of the other topics she's been able to write about, but also what it was like for her to work with Anne on this particular book. The topic, of course, is something that we hear about all the time in the news, especially, of course, for those joining us here in the United States. We just had the recognition of the 16th anniversary of September 11th here in this country. So we'll talk to Dr. Zellinger not only about this topic, but also how we can be able to make children feel safe, but also to make sure that they're alert as to what's going on in the world. Now, if you're just hearing about the new book, we'll tell you at the end of our segment how you all can be able to get your own copy and how you can stay connected with our guests. But Dr. Zellinger, Anne, hello to you and welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Cyrus.
Thank you.
Well, excited to speak with the two. Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. Excited to be able to have the two of you on. And Dr. Zellinger, I'll begin with you. I mean, I have read, you know, other work that you've been able to do. I've watched your videos, especially one that I shared with my nephew that you did about Ebola a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what has it been like for you to be able to not only to address these topics, but to make it easier for us to be able to explain to young ones?
Okay, that's a good question. So, that, I guess, dates back to the fact that children are my love. I seem to connect with children. I have a great understanding of what they think about, what they dream about, what they're afraid of, what they feel good about. And I also work with parents. So having worked in the school system for about 25 years and then now in private practice, I see all of the issues that children are grappling with. And I've had a lot of time and experience in being able to interpret that to parents so that parents understand what kids are going through and can better meet their needs.
Yeah. And with you, the great thing that's a great marriage with this particular book is definitely your love and passion of illustrating comes out, but also being able to share the narrative, to share the story through art. When did you first discover that passion, something that you wanted to share as well?
Well, I always had a love of art, but I've had different careers along the way. I started as a textile designer, and you can see that in my pattern, color, and detail, and then motherhood, and then I was a teacher. So it all kind of came together to help me illustrate this book.
Yeah. And I think the great thing about this particular book, and I think even in discussions, I mean, we know that, I mean, for a lot of us, we're all visual individuals, but I think, you know, being able to have the two together, the words and the artwork. Dr. Zellinger, is that one of the things that you've heard a lot about, even before this book, that people appreciate about your work is not only the marriage of the words with the pictures, but the way it kind of helps to kind of dictate the story and to share it, especially in the classroom setting?
Well, I think 100% that's true. You know, I've had different illustrators. My very first book, I used some stock art, and then I had an illustrator for the next book. But because Anne and I are also friends, you know, we know each other, we can pretty much help to, I guess, to develop a concept together. So what I had found, though, having worked in the schools, I knew that the lockdown drills and things of that nature were really beginning to frighten kids. And because Anne had worked in schools and had also lived through the same kinds of concepts, you know, that I had, we were able to create a package that would It would get the point across, but one of my main goals was to not only deliver a message in the books, but to help kids also feel okay while they were hearing that message. Because there's a lot of fear, you know, surrounding the topic of terrorism. I even find that some parents will say they love the book, they've read it, but they're still reluctant to share it with their kids. Because, you know, they're so afraid of bringing up such a difficult topic. So what we wanted, though, were pictures that were going to be engaging to children but would not raise their fear, would help to reassure them while they were taking in some new information and especially scary topic.
Right. And to go back to you, I mean, to that particular point that Dr. Zellinger mm-hmm. mentioned, I noticed with some of the work, you know, especially like in the classroom when it comes to what's going on during a lockdown, having those words up there. You know, we've all heard that saying that a picture is worth 1,000 words. What has it been like for you to know that your pictures are able to help to kind of share this story that Anne is outlining, especially in this particular book on terrorism?
Oh, it was very important, and it was very crucial that every facial expression, we labored over their expressions and their outfits, every detail in the book, but having been in the classroom was definitely a benefit for me, and I had been teaching during 9/11, so it was very important to me to participate in this, and I saw firsthand the effects of the day on the students and their families and the community. So right. It was definitely something that I wanted to be involved in.
The other thing, also, I wanted to piggyback on that. We also were very careful to show a diversity of populations so that not any one group could be labeled as being good or bad. We really wanted, it was intended so that it would be basic enough for a parent or a teacher to develop whatever they wanted to and overlay it on top of this book and on top of these concepts. So we provided a framework. I didn't give any references to particular terrorist activity or events or any groups. This way, if there was just a basic understanding, a parent could add to that as they felt the child needed to know or as they wanted to give their own viewpoint. So it was very carefully constructed to be benign in terms of not labeling any special group, but being diversified enough so that every child could find themselves in that book.
Exactly.
And also, I might add that Lori gave me total creative liberties to interpret the scenes, and that was the challenge for me. And after it was created, we could go over it like a movie director would go over a scene and edit it accordingly.
And also part of it was that it's not a preachy kind of a book. You know, you'll see kids who are looking bored in the classroom or kids who are up to childhood antics, you know, throwing paper airplanes or, you know, trying to throw French fries into another person's mouth, you know, at lunch.
Right.
And the words are deliberately kids speak so that a child would relate, you know, to those kind and to current kinds of references to FaceTime and video games. It was really meant so that it could be as current as possible at the time that we wrote it, without being dated and without finger pointing, you know, to any group or any population, but that it would just get to the generic fears and concerns of a child. And then, of course, you know, later in the book, it gives parents direction about how to talk about difficult topics, not just terrorism, but how to encourage your child to express whatever they're thinking and feeling about something that might not have been openly discussed as of yet.
For sure. We're going to talk more about those pearls of wisdom for sure, Dr. Zellinger. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome to our program today board-certified psychologist Dr. Lori Zellinger, as well as illustrator Anne Israeli. We're talking to the two of them, not only about what it's been like for them to do work that they love, but to be able to come together for a new book called Please Explain Terrorism to Me. It's a great book to be able to have a conversation, as the subtitle says, a story for children. But as we were just mentioning, Dr. Zellinger, it includes pearls of wisdom for their parents as well as, I think, educators as well. How important has that been for you and your work to not only to write a book that children can read and enjoy themselves, but to include something for the adults around them to be able to use to kind of spark some dialogue and some conversations?
I think it's very important, for many reasons. One thing is this book indicates that it should be read with children and parents together. So that's great for a lot of different reasons. You know, one of them, whenever children appreciate reading when they are read to, you know, so that's just an academic issue. That's just an academic advantage. But also this encourages the relationship between the parent and child, or the adult and the child. It says to the child that, okay, this parent can handle this information. So if I have a question or if I have a fear, I can ask them about it. It also, the pearls of wisdom for parents are really just a guiding tool. So I've divided it up into almost a sequence. You know, the pearls, P-E-A-R-L-S, is really an abbreviation for it. The P is for prepare, and the E is explain, and the A is answer, and the R is reassure, the L is listen, and the S is safeguard. So it's almost like a step-by-step manual for a parent, but it's only encapsulated in about 3 or 4 pages that tells you how to begin a difficult conversation. And you can apply this to anything. You know, it's although I do give scripts in there about what to say regarding terrorism, it can be applied to broaching any difficult topic, you know, the illness, you know, of a loved one, or the expected divorce of parents, or anything that may be coming up. It's guidance for a parent. How do you judge what your child is thinking? How do you encourage them to speak? How do you how do you make the conversation open enough so that a child will feel that they can share without any sort of repercussion? So right. It was very important to me to be able to help parents through this process and to create a book that was good for both. It's like two books in one. It's exactly. For a child and for the parent, but it's also for the relationship between the two.
For sure. And I want to talk to you about two of the illustrations that really struck me that I shared with my own nephew, who's 10. Uh-huh. And I love the fact that the way that they kind of go with the wording. For those who have the print edition of the book, on page 45, you'll see our young man who's kind of sharing the story with us, with us sitting on the couch with his parents. And there right. They're having this conversation. And for the wording there for this, of course, he's kind of thinking about why they had the two drills in school. And he was able to talk about this with his parents. The other one that I wanted to mention is found on page 57, where the same young man, we see him out on the bench with his dad. I bring these two up because I think a lot of times when we think of these important conversations, that we have to have them, in kind of a formal setting, sitting at a table, almost like right. like a board meeting. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, how important was it for you to share that? That these can be done in very informal ways, but in ways that makes the child feel safe, but also gives you an opportunity to really be able to talk and have a serious conversation with them.
It was very important that each illustration matched the language that it was going with. And I especially had fun, you mentioned that page 57 where they're talking, where I had the opportunity to use my color and flowers and make it an environment that was inviting, even putting an ice cream truck in there and having ice cream, sitting on the bench, a ball, which is always, you know, very comforting for a kid to have next to them. It was definitely a challenge. Getting the right lines and facial expression to go on it. it was very exciting to do.
But the other piece, looking at that picture now, the dad's arm, though, is casually on his son's shoulder, so mm-hmm. that the child is feeling connected and
right.
facing the father, but they're both eating ice cream. So they're as comfortable as they could be, yet, you know, the dad is introducing something and saying, okay, you know, let's just talk about it, just us. You know, it's okay to be
right.
scared.
Right. Right.
And Dr. Zellner, I'm glad you mentioned that because – Oh, I'm sorry, Anne, did you want to add something?
No,
I'm
I was just going to add that on some of the other pages, for example, on the bus, I used my years being with children to kind of go down memory lane with some of the shenanigans that go on, and hopefully the kids could laugh at it and recognize somebody they know or perhaps themselves doing some of these things, throwing things out the window or, you know, touching someone's hair in front of them, things that would kind of make them laugh and open up a dialogue for them and their parents or whoever they're reading with.
We wanted every child to be able to identify with parts of this book. And we know, though, that because of the federal mandates for lockdowns and discussions of this sort and evacuation drills, that every child is now experiencing this to some level. But having worked in the schools, I knew that kids were always afraid when they knew that there was going to be a drill. And are there bad guys? Are they coming in to get us? What's this about? What are we supposed to do? So what we tried to do was to normalize it for the kids, show them, yeah, you know, we know that this goes on, and this is what a lockdown looks like. But in doing so, we tried to take all of the formal scary elements out of it. So everybody's in a lockdown, but different kids have different facial expressions, and some are bored, and the teacher is in lockdown position. And then I always want kids to feel good and to feel empowered. And the message after the lockdown was the principal getting on and saying, you guys did a wonderful job. And this way, even though they've been through something tough, the children are able to walk away from it and say, oh, okay, you know, I managed that. So that was really important to us, that we bring the real-life elements that we have, you know, the advantage of knowing, having worked with kids in schools for so long.
Right. I want to talk about something else with the two of you, and starting with you again, Anne, on page 33, and again going back to what I mentioned earlier about a picture's worth a thousand words, because I think it ties in well with what we also see on page 57, and we'll kind of tie the two together. One of the things that was said in this particular section was about, of course, the young man, you know, not wanting to go to sleep. What was written on page 32, it mentioned that stupid TV show was on again about explosions and people dying. Even though Dad was watching downstairs, I heard it up in my room. Thinking about it felt creepy, so I asked Mom to sit with me for a while. Even with Mom there and my nightlight on, I knew it was going to be a bad night no matter what. And then, of course, you're able to share this really dramatic picture. I think that even some adults, and I think we all know what it's like to kind of think of some things that we watch. I mean, talk to us about this picture and what it was like for you to kind of share how these things can linger with us, especially young people, when they're going to bed or even throughout their day.
Yes, I think nighttime is often the time when everything kind of settles in and they reflect on their day and things that have happened. That's why I put the motif of the bully from the lunchroom. There's the fear of the fire. The it wasn't a person holding this weapon, but some kind of a monster. So kind of your worst things. But I tried to make them kind of colorful in a way, threatening but not too threatening. He still has the monkey in the bed with him, his animals, things that would be of comfort through the night, and hopefully, I think the graphics kind of give that nightmarish feeling without being overly scary.
Right. Dr. Zellner, I bring that up because on page 56, going back to the picture of the young man with his father, this is what you wrote when it comes to seems like, of course, what a lot of young people may experience. Dad told me in private that being scared is natural. It's a way of keeping us safe because it makes us aware of our surroundings. But he said that if I couldn't get those thoughts out of my head, or if I felt shaky and scared all the time, or if the bad dreams kept coming back, I should tell him or my mother, and they would find a way to help me feel better. I think a lot of times young people, and we adults, I think we go through the same thing. We don't like to admit that we have a problem with something. We don't like to admit that we might need help. I mean, why was it important for you to mention that? That, you know, this may be something that you may want to discuss with someone. It, you know, it may be a parent or an adult, or may end up talking to someone professionally.
Okay, so that's a good question. You know, as a child in real life, I was a very anxious kid. That's why I wrote one of my other books, Please Explain Anxiety to Me, because I totally understood what anxiety was like. And I remember a couple of times, like, bringing it up with an adult, and the response was, oh, cut it out. And so then I felt like, oh, then I really can't talk about this, and I have to keep it to myself because I can't get over this. So thinking about that, then I felt like, well, you know, I have to make sure that children understand that they can talk about things that are on their mind. And we know developmentally kids get stuck at different stages with different kinds of issues. So one of the things is that in the directions in the back, you know, to parents, it's to guide the conversation, but not to dominate it. You really want to know what a child is thinking about. Anne had referenced in the picture with all the motif of all of the bad dreams, there's something called day residue, which means that the things that you experience during the day or the day before often come out in dreams, but they're disguised in different ways. So what I want to be able to do is to help children feel that they can trust the parents who take care of them, and that those parents can handle any of the things that the child is thinking about, and they can open it up for discussion. Because if they don't, what happens is the child might ruminate over it, and then in doing so, they can exaggerate the fears, or maybe some of them could be put to bed pretty quickly with a simple explanation from a parent. Or even just sharing your anxiety might dilute it because somebody else is there to say, oh, I understand. But for a child to suffer and be anxious by themselves can only be destructive. And what we want is for children to feel trust in the adults who take care of them, teachers and parents alike.
Right. So, Dr. Zellinger, I mean, when people finish this particular book, Please Explain Terrorism to Me, what is your hope that the child and the adult will be able to take away from it, that they can not only, of course, continue to share with each other, but also to maybe share with others?
I think there's a couple of messages in the book. One of the messages is to parents that kids are picking up information from different places. Even if you're not telling them about it, they're picking it up on the bus, at school. In one of the early pictures in the book, the main character sees his mother's cell phone getting a message from the mother's sister that says, "Oh my God, have you seen?" And then the mother grabs it away because she doesn't want her kids to be upset by anything that's going on. She turns off the television. She tries to shield the child. But even our best efforts as parents and educators, kids are still sharing information, you know, social media, et cetera. So one message is to parents, don't underestimate what your kids are hearing, but what they're getting is not always accurate. So the other message to parents is find out what they're hearing, clear up any misconceptions, start the dialogue, and do what you can to give information in the simplest way, but not to elaborate, but to only build up that information as the child needs it or as you feel you have to impart some of your values. The other message, though, for children is that the adults in their life are trying to keep them safe. They're doing everything they can. Schools are becoming safe places. There are lockdowns. There are security guards. There are procedures in place. Parents are doing the best they can to safeguard children. And it also teaches children, when you're out without a parent, try to make good decisions. Keep your wits about you. You know, look around. Don't talk to strangers. If you see something, say something. But the bottom message is that we're doing everything we can in a world that has a lot of surprises, but it's still your right as a child to have fun, to be a kid, to do the things that kids like to do. Leave the worrying to the adults. We'll teach you what we need you to know, and we will all do our best. Count on your community people, you know, the police and anybody in the community who is dedicated to helping people. Count on the people around you, but still be a kid. Have fun. Go, you know, play soccer, dance, do gymnastics, go swimming, ride your bike. It's still, it's a scary world, but you don't have to be scared all the time. We're doing our best to take care of you.
Yeah. And for yourself, I mean, as people are able to kind of take in the illustrations as they're reading the book, what do you hope the illustrations do in being able to add to what Dr. Zellinger mentioned about being able to share, you know, the need to, of course, you know, to be aware, but also to be able to stay informed and to not allow these things to overwhelm you?
Yes. I hope the illustrations feel comfortable and friendly and relatable. I hope when they see some of them, they can say to themselves, yeah, this looks like what I do. I play video games. I do my homework on the kitchen table. We attach our things to the refrigerator. There's just a lot of things in there that I put in that, you know, both as a parent that I did and as a teacher so that it's friendly, and some of them might find some humor in it, like on page 47, when there's all kinds of people in the world and there's little aliens skateboarding or, you know, having fun. so that it's a mix. And, you know, we made sure that there was an animal in the book that was something that, you know, kids also would relate to and feel friendly.
The child's pet dog, right.
Yes, that was an addition. The annoying siblings, having dinner and the youngest sister just oblivious to the older brother's looks, I think are all things that children will be able to relate to. It's not stiff. There's loads of details that they can find in it, the parents can find and bring out, and hopefully it made the words more real and inviting. That was the biggest challenge for me, to interpret Dr. Zellinger's very, very carefully thought-out scenarios of the family to bring them to life. So it was a real challenge and pleasure.
I have to tell you, though, Cyrus, Ann and I are both a little bit obsessive, so we really labored over every word, every picture, the length of a shirt and the hairstyle of a mom that, you know, she shouldn't look too coiffed, because in real life, moms run around a lot. So we were just trying to make everything relatable to a child so that a child would be, if any of it was above their head, but it's really geared for kids ages 6 to 10, but if anything was above their head, they would have the visuals to look at that would give them something to think and talk about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think they'll definitely enjoy it. Yeah.
I labored over, I can relate to the page of the lunchroom. The angle of the French fry took more than one take to get that right exactly, and the expression of the boys in the back table, you know, doing their shenanigans. So, but we had a really good time doing those details.
Yeah. Well, I think audiences will definitely, I think they definitely will enjoy it. Again, the book is Please Explain Terrorism to Me by Dr. Lori Zellinger, as well as illustrated by Ann Israeli. Dr. Zellinger, let our audience know, how can they stay connected with you and be able to find out more information about your other projects too?
Thanks so much, Cyrus. Okay, so my website is www.drzellinger.com. That's drzellinger.com, and on there you'll see Please Explain Anxiety to Me, which has been very popular. also my first book, The Oh My and Tonsillectomy and Adenoidectomy. It's How to Prepare Your Child for Surgery. I also have been hired by American Girl to write a book for them. It's called The Smart Girl's Guide to Liking Herself, Even on the Bad Days. I've also edited some of their books. And I wrote a chapter in a compendium on play therapy, and that's about selective mutism. So if people go to the website, I would certainly appreciate that, and I'd love for them to read about any of the books that I've written.
All right. So again, drzellinger.com. And Anne, what about you? How can our audience stay connected with you?
Through Facebook, if they put in Please Explain Terrorism to Me, I have a site that has things on it regarding the project.
Okay. So make sure you all do that again. Yeah. Just look for the title of the book, Please Explain Terrorism to Me, on Facebook. Dr. Zellinger, and thank you again so much for the time. Really appreciate it. And looking forward to having the two of you back on the program again.
Thank you so much. Cyrus. I enjoyed it.
Thanks
for
having us.
Anne? Yeah.
Okay.
The pleasure is definitely all mine. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.